This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Kevin, the big thing right now, we got Mike and Shippy also in the studio, is the NFL Players Association and their agreement with the NFL's owners and their new CBA. Now, Kevin, you know, we've been talking about this for, what, almost 3 years now? Yep. And how what the players needed to do to ensure that they were going to be taken care of and how most of them probably wouldn't do it. Yep. Because most of them would probably be like, hey, man, I got to get my money while I can. That being said, are they getting some fair things offered to them right now that they're like, that's perfectly fine for us to agree with?
I mean, look, the monetary concession of getting an extra percentage out of the whole pie and then potentially 1.5% out of the whole pie, that helps. So if nothing else, like, there is a lot of extra money to be made off of that. And I know there, and then they conceded on like the weed thing, but you heard how hard they're pushing back in terms of like, there's going to be another week of games. There's going to be extra playoff teams, which I think the NFL players are probably fine with as well. But at the end of the day, they're going to get more money. And I think a lot of players are like, okay, cool. We'll figure out the rest.
Okay.
Don't you think?
I felt like there were some other things that they didn't like. They didn't like some of the power that Goodell had over their fines.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And then also that's another thing. They would move it to a more neutral arbiter. So yeah. You did get that. That's a really good point.
I thought that was really important to them. I know the weed thing is because that allows more players, having more roster spots allows more jobs, allows veterans to hang on a little longer. Maybe it allows for younger players to come in. But I think there are a lot of other ancillary things to it rather than just the money. The money is a big driving factor. But there's what's going to happen after, I mean, the owners are going to continue to make their bukus of cash. And then after about 5 years of this, there's going to be something that gets exposed. And they're going to go, oh, we found a loophole. And the owners and then the players are going to be furious that they found a loophole. And now we're stuck with this franchise tag the way that it is. Or now that we're stuck with this kind of tag. So there's going to happen something down the road. In about 5 years, we're going to start seeing new things happen where they get furious with it.
Look, and for whatever reason, the NFL Players Association has decided they want to get this to the players to vote. All right. They actually changed the rules in their own constitution on Friday so they could move this forward. And it's going to go to the entirety of the Players Association, which, depending on what source you believe, has approximately 1900 to 2100 members, because you also have to pay dues to be part of the NFLPA. You can't just be in the NFL and automatically get in it. So all it takes, by the way, simple majority. All right. So if you get one more, or I guess depending on if the numbers are even, two more people to vote yes, then no, this will be passed. So 50% plus one, this will be passed. But it was like passed through the league representatives. 17 were for it. 14 were against it. One abstained, which is super weird. You don't know what you think about this potentially groundbreaking labor agreement. Okay, you should probably not be the team representative anymore. And so now it's going to go to the entirety of the team. I will caution you, something that Sean and RJ were doing is they're reading off some of the high-profile players who are like, that's a hard no from me. That is not the bulk of your membership. All right, the Richard Shermans, J.J. Watts, not that their voices don't matter, but they're in the elite category of we've made all the money, we have all the money, I can stand on whatever principle I want. How many people are in this NFLPA that have not very much of the money at all, especially given what they do.
And
they cannot afford a work stoppage.
Not even the endorsement types, like that comes along with the stardom that comes with being a 12-year veteran. I mean, that has a lot to do with it, too. You know, J.J. Watt has Papa John's, right?
Yes.
You know, a lot of those players they are invested in so many other ways that they can sit back and say, I don't need the NFL.
I know that it sounds fair for all the players to have a vote, but I would bet you, because I'm just going to out myself, 90% of the players aren't going to read a second of this collective bargaining agreement. They're not when they get their vote, they're not going to sit down for 2 days and read the collective bargaining agreement. They're just not. So you're going to have players voting that are just hearing what's happening through social media on it. And I think the player reps, now they're supposed to be, the player reps are supposed to really be the people that invest their time and energy in reading the agreement, talking to the lawyers, talking to their agent, because the agents are really supposed to be reading this thing and making sure, to y'all's point, on the loopholes and things where they're like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened.
Which is what happened to them last time.
You can do this? And they're like, yeah, it was in the collective bargaining agreement. Is that really these players, 90% of these players, they need to just go off of what their agent or player rep is telling them to do. Because if you're not going to read it, which 90%, and maybe I'm low on that number, are not going to read this thing, then they need to make sure that whatever their player rep slash agent is telling them is what they need to vote on. Not just, I vote yes because I want money, but I'm afraid, and that's why the owners are really smart in this, they made sure that every player's vote is equal in this thing, when they know that 90% of them will probably not even read a second of it, and they're just hoping that they'll just vote yes, because I just want to keep playing football.
Oh, man. All right, well,
he's not wrong.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of the – but that's what we've been predicting this entire time. Yep. I mean, and I'll be very honest. That conversation started with Jesse Holly. Jesse Holly gave me a lot of insight on what they were going through there. And so it's great to have Mike here, too, because he's gone through this stuff, too, whenever it comes to how owners try to screw you over.
I'm the doo-doo queen.
Yeah, and whenever – you know, because they're – listen, the big business is always going to try and screw over the employee. That's just
who's my size?
That's the way that it's going to work. Sure. And they're going to be like, hey, we got our money. As long as you guys are keeping the budget low, we're doing perfectly fine.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you are in sports or any other business.
Are you a Super Bowl champion? That's fantastic. But we got a budget. That's why we created the salary cap, so that we don't have to spend so much.
Yes, there's no reason for a salary cap otherwise.
No.
Like NFL teams are like, well, if it weren't for the salary cap, we'd never make any money. How sad is that? Like, there's no reason for that.
The reason they have the salary cap is for one, competitive balance.
Bull crap.
But Jerry Jones would go spend everything if he didn't.
Great! So you can't compete. That's what the draft is for, all right? The draft is there to circumvent competitive balance for all the people spending. The other thing I hate...
Do you know what, by the way, just for a factual statement here, do you know how much Jerry Jones spent on those championship teams where he was when it came to team spending? There were 30 teams in the NFL at that time.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
17th. I don't know. It was a different time for Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is now worth billions of dollars, and then he was only worth millions of dollars. But to just think and say, well, before the salary cap, Jerry Jones was spending all of the money.
Well, if you think
he was 17th, and when it came to spending on your team, he was not there with the Washington Redskins, were really high at the time, I believe. The San Francisco 49ers, like the top team spending at that time were the Redskins and the 49ers. I think the Vikings, for some reason, I remember reading about this, were up there. But the Cowboys were not spending all of the money when they won the back-to-back championship.
And it makes sense, too, right? Because who are the best players on that team? Troy Aikman, drafted. Emmett, drafted. Irvin, drafted. Russell Maryland, drafted. Right. Alvin Harper, drafted. Right. Larry Allen, drafted. Like, so many of these players we just drafted, so it makes sense. But real quick, any negotiation that if you're the NFLPA or, quite frankly, any players' association, when the poor owners open up their books and they're like, look at the money that we're not making, I would have my chart of the value of franchises per Forbes over the last 20 years. And I would factor that into every single thing. Because what did Mark Cuban pay for the Mavericks? Like a couple hundred million, and now it's worth $2.4 billion. Yeah. So I'd be like, all right, so also you've made a profit of $2.2 billion over the last 20 years. So you make more than $100 million every single year. So let's factor that in, and let's talk about the salary cap.
Mike, I just went back and looked at Troy Aikman's contract in 1993.
He made like 50 bucks.
In 1993, with a year to spare, Aikman signed the biggest NFL history contract, agreeing to a $50 million, eight-year deal.
Oh, yes.
That included $11 million in signing.
Are you listening, Dak? That's the deal I need you to take. A for 50.
And obviously, look, and Kevin was right, is when they were a lower-spending team in winning championships, it was all off of the draft. Now, there was no cap in the draft. It wasn't like today where, I mean, the first pick, you could give him whatever they negotiated. It wasn't like it is now, but the cap came into play as all those guys were getting done with their first 3 to 4 years in the NFL, which caused, obviously, the Cowboys a lot of problems with a cap coming in after drafting so many good players.
I just want you to hear this line of the story, too. To put Jones's commitment to Aikman into perspective, consider that he paid $65 million to buy the team, $75 million for the stadium, and now he's spending $50 million for a single player. And then Jerry Jones said, if those dollars are worth it for anyone, they're worth it for Troy Aikman.
All right, so basically, the cost of keeping Troy Aikman for his entire career, plus the stadium, plus the franchise, is what it's going to cost to get Dak Prescott signed.
Yes.
That's what's happened in the span of 25 or 30 years.
It's wild, man. That's absolutely wild. The Dallas Stars absolutely rolled over Carolina last night. By the time I turned the game on, it was already done with. But then they added another one to get the win over Carolina. Kevin, I mentioned earlier during Crosstalk that that the Mavericks, if they were to add Beal, that would put them right there in contention. And somebody got pissed at me.
Oh.
It was like, hey, man, the Stars are competing for the number one seed in the West right now. Why aren't you giving them credit for going and getting the title?
Yeah, that was me that texted in.
Sorry about that, Shippy. I didn't mean to offend you.
I'm still pissed, but it's okay.
Well, okay, then is that legitimate that, like, they don't need to make any additions to be an actual contender for the Cup?
No, yeah, I mean, so since October 19th, after they started the season 1-7-1, the Dallas Stars are 36-13-5 with a 17-5-4 record on the road, and both of those are the best in the NHL over that time.
I don't know about that, Shippy. I accidentally listened to another radio station this morning, and they said that as the head coach of the Stars, Rick Bowness is 29-3. So apparently we're the greatest NHL team that's ever existed in the history of ever.
I don't know about the 29-3 thing. That's not what I got.
29-3. How would we not be in first place then?
I watched some last night, and I'm a casual hockey
fan.
I'm
proud of you.
Are the Hurricanes as bad on defense as what I caught last night? I was like, man, this looks like some really bad, sloppy defense where they were turning the puck over and the Stars kept it in. You know, they kind of kept it in the Hurricanes zone when I felt like the Stars didn't do a lot there. It was just sloppy play from the Canes defense.
Yeah, so they just dealt, actually, about a week ago, Justin Faulk, who is one of their best defensemen. Yeah, I don't have to dump that. It's F-A-U-L-K.
They didn't mind giving Faulk away.
Gotcha.
It's like the stuff. Isn't that the stuff you put in your shower?
Right.
That's caulk.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, they traded him, and he's a really good defender, and anytime you get rid of that type of guy, you're going to have some troubles back there. And, I think that they're just kind of, you know, they're not really going to compete, I don't think, for the playoffs, so they got rid of them, and that's why you saw those defensive, you know, those defensive lapses that Dallas Stars took care of.
And in other news, Kevin, Maria Sharapova, known for Canon cameras and also playing tennis, is retiring from the sport.
You know, it's kind of funny that you say that also for playing tennis, because I definitely think that's right.
Like, he's retired prematurely.
I mean, I don't know about that, but she won like 5 Grand Slam tournaments. But do you think she's better known for like her off the court stuff? Because if you want an astonishing number, she made about $38 million playing tennis. And she was good. She was a good tennis player, really good tennis player. She made about $100 million in modeling and endorsements.
See, that's what I'm talking about,
she's
man.
Hot.
I don't even think she's that attractive.
What? You don't?
What the hell did you just say?
Because she's as tall as you are almost?
No, there's just something about her that I'm this. She looks like an evil person from a villain movie.
You don't like blondes?
Like, she would be the evil woman in a Bond movie, is what I see. You know how I feel about Minka Kelly's ankles, but this one right here.
Yeah, Corey has some really weird
things.
Wait,
what did you just say?
That he picks off women for.
Yep.
Does she have cankles? I never
looked. No, she has. Well, Minka does, but not Sharapova. She's fine. It's just. She kind of scares me as a villainous woman in a Bond movie. So,
okay,
not one of the good ones.
All right. Well, she's had drug testing issues. I don't know if that's straight.
Really?
If that makes her Bond level of evil, but
that makes sense.
Good to know.
What do you mean?
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, more information about exactly what Corey just said, but also would the Cowboys be that petty, and would Dak be that petty? Talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. I want to go through a quick series of tweets from Calvin Watkins real quick, guys. And this has something to do with my tight end question of this morning, which Kevin is vehemently, is that the right way to use it?
Vehemently.
Against even discussing tight end. Here is Calvin Watkins. We got snow at the combine, a near labor agreement, and the Cowboys getting ready for some contract work.
Oh.
So that's interesting. Next tweet. Cowboys won't engage in any serious talks with Dak or Amari until they know the rules of the CBA. And based on how long it takes corporate environments to get through paperwork, it should be about 7 or 8 months before we know anything. Last tweet, though. Also, there's an expectation Sean Lee will return in 2020. Jason Witten, not so much.
Good. That's the preferred combination. If you told me one of them is coming back, I much prefer Sean Lee come back than Jason Witten.
I can't believe you hate one of the greatest tight ends of all time.
I'm okay with Jason Witten coming back. I understand that he's not. I think that Calvin Watkins is pretty much confirming everything that we know about where Jason Witten is with the new Cowboys coaching staff, and they don't think much of him. If he was only used 25% of the downs, hey, it's third and three, third and five.
Yeah.
Come on the field, run your route where you find that hole in the zone where you can kind of almost box out your guy. Cause after you catch it, you're going nowhere. Hey, he's a Hall of Fame guy. He's the greatest Cowboys tight end of all time, arguably a top five tight end of all time. Yes. But at this point in his career, he can't block anymore, even though the Jones family comes on and tells us he can, when every person who watches him block knows that he can't do it anymore. And then he plays 80% of the downs, which he should only be playing about one every four. If he was willing to accept that and the coaching staff said, hey, we want you to come in on a $2 million contract and you're going to be our backup tight end playing 25% of the time, and you're on special teams for blocking for field goal attempts and extra point attempts, I'm fine with that. But I don't think Witten's fine with that, and I don't think the coaching staff's fine with that.
And I was going to say, do you think new coaching staff would be fine with that? Because, McCarthy doesn't love him the same way, obviously, Garrett did.
If they had a conversation and you were to tell Jason straight up, Jason Witten, you're only going to play on special downs. For the most part, we're going to play Blake Jarwin, and we might bring in another guy to be kind of more of his backup. If he gets hurt, you're not now starting for the next four games while he's hurt. We actually have another guy who we believe can catch the ball and move after he catches the ball.
I believe that I might be wrong about this, but I think Fish was reporting that Mike McCarthy told Jason Witten to go out there and play. As in, like, hey, I still want to play. Well, then go out there and play. And it was kind of a suggestion of somewhere else. Okay. Was the idea. So McCarthy and Kevin, here's the thing about tight end. I know I keep asking you, and you're like, look, we already got Jarwin, but we also have Dalton Schultz, and I don't think that's good enough at the backup position. There aren't immediate starters right now at the position in college. So coming out of the draft, I don't think there's an immediate starter you're just going to snatch,
right?
Like there were the last couple of years, but I think there are a couple guys that can grow with Blake Jarwin, and you can work with that. And I think the other thing is, I saw David Hellman tweet this out yesterday, I believe. What if the Cowboys just start taking a new approach with a new model of tight end? Because for the longest time, it's been, hey, let's just get this big, huge, massive tight end that can do all this stuff. Why not an Evan Engram type? Why not a guy that's less of a blocker, more of a receiver, that can destroy linebackers and safeties and routes? Those are the, that's what I want. And I think Jarwin can do it when he sees it. But I would like to, hey, give me two of them. Why not have two of them? I'm perfectly fine with that. I will also add this. According to Tom Pelissero, despite speculation, no NFL team requested for Jalen Hurts to perform combine drills at any other position but quarterback.
Because he made that declarative statement where he's like,
is
I'm
it,
a cornerback.
Is it
a
or, quarterback. Do more, or do more people think of him as, well, he is a quarterback. And are more teams starting to say, we're going to respect that part of it?
For Jalen Hurts?
Because yeah. After Lamar Jackson proved everybody wrong, shouldn't there start being, well, man, are we idiots?
I also think the bounce over to Oklahoma and excelling in a different system, like I know it's still a high-level team, yeah. But I think, you know, being in the national championship, bouncing over to Oklahoma, making a Heisman run, I think that helped.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's going to end up being a third or fourth round draft pick. I think he might get drafted a round higher than Dak Prescott, but I think people will look at him similar to Dak Prescott out of the draft and not be drafting him to be their future quarterback, but saying, hey, maybe. And now we have an example of Dak Prescott. Nobody in the draft thought Dak Prescott was worth a starting quarterback. Everybody thought you were drafting him to develop him. Hopefully he can become a nice, solid backup. And he can start when you need him to start for the starter, but never we're drafting Dak to really become anything special. And he immediately became something pretty special. Is Jalen Hurts, though, talking to Jeff Kavanaugh, is he does not have, and I think everybody agrees with this that saw him play at Oklahoma and Alabama, he doesn't have near the traits that Lamar Jackson has when it comes to athleticism, speed, elusiveness. He's nice at running the football. He can run.
He's better than Dak at running the football.
He can run the football because they think he's going to throw it. And so he uses that ability as in, I'm pretty good at it because you guys see me as a quarterback when I take off. Lamar Jackson is one of the best runners of a football, and it doesn't matter he's playing quarterback. And so I think for people that thought maybe with Lamar Jackson, is Kavanaugh said, well, when you see Lamar Jackson, he runs like a wide receiver. He runs like a running back. He has all the traits. When you look at Jalen Hurts and you say, I might want to change his position, you'd be changing a guy that wouldn't have the same attributes that the other good receivers have or the other good running backs have. He doesn't compare to those guys.
Yeah, no, I remember discussing that a while back, and that was something that Jeff texted me. He was like, they would be idiots to try and turn him into any other position because he's not. He's not that kind of guy. Now, with the Cowboys won't engage in serious talks with Dak or Amari until they know the rules of the
awful.
CBA tweet from Calvin Watkins, Kevin.
That's embarrassing.
It does. Why?
Because how can you not at least sit down with them and say, this would be what happens if it passes, and this would be what happens if it doesn't. You're already behind, and now you're falling further behind because you're like, well, we don't know what's going to happen. Fine. Then sit down with the players and be like, you're voting on this. If y'all decide, if it goes this way, this is the offer. If it goes this way, this is the offer, because the parameters of how we do business will be different.
I do wonder, though, if you make that promise now and then something changes. And if something changes at all, like let's say that they make one little addendum to the CBA. And now a lot of things change. Then are they sitting there going, but you promised us this whenever this was the circumstance.
And then I would have said, you should have signed it when you had the chance. Because I would present them with that opportunity. If you would like to sign either one of these now, then we'll keep that promise.
But now things have changed, and this is what I can actually get out of it, but you're not giving me that offer.
That's right, because I gave you the opportunity to sign at the time, knowing you were going to roll the dice and take your chances. I'm tired of the Cowboys not pushing the pressure on this. They need to push the pressure on this instead of just sit back and be like, well, I guess we'll figure out something at some point. Awesome. That is not how successful franchises work, all right? Fortune favors the bold, all right? Go out there, make some steps, and don't just wait around. It's the same thing with Zeke and Jalen.
But doesn't it sound like it's Dak and his company, his group, that are also just waiting around too?
That's fine.
I mean, because they're like, but okay. Whenever the new CBA happens, because talks just stopped according to Stephen Jones.
But then they also said they haven't attempted to re-engage since September. That's fine. If Dak Prescott is the one who's like, well, we don't feel comfortable with that, then that's what I'm saying. Well, we talked to Dak's representatives. They said they don't want to do anything until the new CBA, so we're going to wait until that. Instead, they're like, we'll figure it out,
okay.
Which leads me to believe that the Cowboys are also fine sitting around.
Well, that's something, too, because from what I understand, if this has been agreed to, the new CBA, or it's being pushed to the players' vote now, and one of the lines in there is the transition tag's gone.
Yep.
Right? So you just have the franchise tag.
We'll just call it the Amari tag.
All right. Well, interesting. All right. That's interesting because we were discussing yesterday, Mike, and you said you would be super petty with Dak Prescott if you offered him the franchise tag and he said that's all he was going to do.
Well, if I've offered him $180 million with 110 in guarantees where, you know, there's also kind of personal guarantees. If you look at contracts, it gets a little bit weird, but you'd guarantee 110 out of the 180. So I've guaranteed you the most money in the history of football. I've given you the most money ever in the history of football. It's on 5 years. You're going to be at $36 million. Right now, if it's just on a per year basis, you have Russell Wilson making 35. So I've made you the highest paid quarterback per year. I've given you the most money ever overall on a contract. And I've given you the most guarantees in the history. I've beat every number in the history of football for every quarterback. If he says no to that, and then I say, well, I'm trading you, and I find trade partners before the draft, and Dak says, well, I'm not signing the franchise tag, so you can't trade me. I'm just going to stay in Dallas and play on the franchise tag, and I'm not signing that contract. I would, and I know the Cowboys won't, I would say, all right, I'm just going to let you know up front, you will probably only play 6 games this year max, and we are sitting you out the rest of the time. Maybe that helps you because you can say you're healthy.
Wow.
But we are going to most likely draft a quarterback or go sign another veteran quarterback, and we are going to play that guy over you for the majority of games. And you are going to now be a guy that we are going to, in the media too, you know, I guess you don't tell them this, but when it comes to it, I would say in these situations, I would say, you know what? We've just lost our faith and trust in Dak. We just don't feel like he's good enough to really lead our franchise. And he's just making too many mental mistakes and too many things that we just don't believe in anymore. Hey, and I might, and it would ruin this season. It would ruin this season. But I'd be like, look, I'll ruin one season to ruin you if you're not going to allow us to do this. I hate this from a player standpoint, what I'm saying, but I think that the shrewdest, best organizations don't see their players as people. They see them as assets. And I hate saying that, but you got to treat them that way if you make him that offer. If you're offering him 5 years and $140 million with 80 guaranteed, I get he's saying no to that. Yep. You're not setting the market in any way possible. He's not getting the most money per year. He's not getting the most guarantees. He's not getting the highest contract ever for a quarterback. I get where I wouldn't treat him that way. But if I give him everything, I beat every possible number I can beat, and he still says no to that, that's when I screw him over.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Holy smokes.
Is there a way for the player to then screw them over other than going out and performing better later on?
Well, I mean, not really. Because he's just going to sit there, and then he can be like, well, fine, I won't sign next year. And I'll be like, okay, that's fine. Then I still have the opportunity to franchise you the year after. Like, you can just keep sitting there.
But nobody's going to be that petty, right?
I don't think we'd be that petty.
At that point, I
would hope that Dak would say, okay, I'll sign the tag, and you trade me to one of these 6 or 7 teams that I want to go to, and I will go to that team. And I do think if we get to this point, if the Cowboys really don't believe in Dak and Dak won't sign a big contract, and we have no clue if the Cowboys are offering a big contract, they won't come out with anything that's saying they are offering a great contract. We just have to assume that they are getting close to those numbers I gave, is that the Cowboys would, I guess, I'm kind of talking in circles here, but just make up their mind. Just, I think if they told Dak, we're not doing a deal close to what you want, I do think Dak would say, all right, then trade me. Or let me be a free agent. I think you'd say, let me be a free agent first, because let me choose. Let me get out on the open market and let people bid on me,
no deal.
Which the Cowboys won't. But then at that point, then I think Dak and his team would say, okay, then let's find the best trade situation for us first and for you second. And the Cowboys would be saying, well, we're going to put us first and you second, and you're going to have to come to agreement where both parties like the trade that they are getting proposed to, that I'm going to this team, they're giving me the contract I want, and you guys are getting this in return.
You okay with that?
Kevin, I've been trying. every week I'm like, okay, here's my new plan. Every week I have a brand new plan, and the way that this CBA is rolling out and the way the Cowboys are handling it, I'm having more difficulty with it.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Mets' bizarre pitching strategy. Is it actually genius? Talk about it next right here on The Fan.
I'll tell you one of the things that was genius for me, and that was almost 7 years ago going to Men's T Clinic. Guys, I went in, I got my blood work, got it checked, got my testosterone number back. You get other numbers back, too. It's not just a testosterone check, but get that back, and my number was 182. That's pretty low for 35 years old, and they said, hey, we really think you're a candidate for testosterone therapy. I was worried about the cost, like a lot of you guys that ask me about how much does it cost to be on testosterone therapy with Men's T Clinic. I'm telling you, if you have insurance, it does not cost much at all to get your weekly checkup. So I get on testosterone therapy 2 weeks into the process, notice a major difference in my energy levels. I have way more energy. I get through the day of work and then have energy to work out, energy to play with my kids, energy at night with my wife, if you know what I mean. The number to call to get your appointment, 1-800-246-LOW-T. That's 1-800-246-LOW-T, or you can go to menstclinic.com, get your appointment either way. Four locations in the Metroplex, open on Saturdays if you're too busy during the week. Guys, let's get that appointment. Let's get back to being you through Men's T Clinic.
The Mets are considering entering 2020 with an unconventional fifth starter plan.
Mrs. Met?
No, not Mrs. Met. But also at the end of this segment, actually, I want to be the meat of this segment. I have some hidden gems, some Easter eggs that I want to tell y'all about. Oh. These are pretty amazing. All right,
today's Ash Wednesday. Makes sense.
Okay,
I was so bad at finding Easter eggs.
Sorry, Shippy. This is good as.
That's okay.
I'm just gonna give these to you though. You don't have to. They're already there, so you don't have to worry about finding them.
These are my kind of eggs.
All right, barring an injury, the Mets want to enter the season with Jacob DeGrom, mm-hmm. Noah Syndergaard, Marcus Stroman, and Rick Porcello as their entrenched first four starters.
Okay.
From there, they want to deploy either Steven Motz or Michael Wacha, depending on if they're starting against a team that's better versus righties or lefties.
Okay.
The team now under Luis Rojas, because Beltran can't cheat for them anymore, could also turn to an opener with Motz or Wacha later checking in as the game's bulk pitcher. Now, I turn it over to Mike Bacsik because all right. I want to know if this is going to work. Because I like that Major League Baseball managers are taking different approaches because, man, not all money is spent the right way on these teams. So not everybody has the same teams. But can something like this be functional?
It can be functional. That it could work. But you're asking your starting four guys, your major four guys, yep, especially DeGrom and Syndergaard, and then your two others, you're asking them to be healthy for the majority of the season. When you look at what happens throughout a major league season, you're going to have to use 9 to 11 starters. That it's just going to be injuries that are happening. So in a perfect world...
That's more than our seven, Kevin, that we used to work
with.
That
was a minimum.
Okay.
Minimum.
So in a perfect world, this could work, and you could give guys extra days off, but usually you're going to get guys hurt. There's just going to be times where you're like, hey, we had this idea and this plan, but now we're on April 17th, and one of our guys has hit the 10-day injured list. And so we're going to have to scrap this for now. And then when this guy comes back, I mean, you could add the minor leaguer, but the minor leaguer, I don't think you want to do the randomness to. You kind of want these veteran guys that you feel like, hey, we can use them as a starter today. And 3 days from now, I can use them in the sixth or seventh inning, yep, and maybe both innings, because we're winning the game 3-2, or maybe we're just losing 3-2, but I want to hold it there, and this guy needs to get in his work right now because I'm planning on starting him 3 days later. So it's very tough on a manager. I was going to ask Todd Zeal this, and I know he's never been a manager, and maybe we'll get to talk to Woody next week in spring training.
Did you get caught up in all the Loch Ness Monster discussion?
Yeah, that was honestly a great interview. Is that the manager has a lot of responsibility has been taken away from the manager, as in now the general manager pretty much puts together the lineup and hands it to the manager at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, or has it on his desk, or maybe they go over it together. But it used to be that the general manager had nothing to do with the lineup. That was the manager's job. Here's, I've given you my 25 guys. Now it'll be 26. You deal with it however you want to deal with it. Now it's your job. My job is to give you the 25. Your job is now to put them in the lineup the way you want, use the pitching staff the way you want, and that's not the case anymore. But when it comes to things like this where the general manager is trying to move more towards, we're going to do things out of the ordinary and see if it works, is then it's the manager's responsibility to make sure that these guys are okay, that mentally they're okay with having roles that have never really been a role at Major League Baseball.
Are you okay with the Rangers trying to approach it that way in the future?
What
if we never have any starters?
What?
Here's my suggestion.
Hold on. Right? This is taking a pretty hard turn.
We just have a pitching staff.
All right. Uh-huh.
All right. And we never know who's going to start. We're throwing that guy out there today because we feel like he's the one.
How many innings does he pitch?
Because
in that
way we save money by not having to have signed starters.
Well, it's a theory that a lot of people have.
Not
in Major League Baseball, but fans.
Oh.
Also, sometimes high school coaches have thrown this to me, and I would say, okay, I get it. And nowadays you're going to have 13 pitchers because you have the extra spot. So you're going to have 13 pitchers. But what I ask you, Kevin, is how many innings is that guy going to pitch on his start? Because if he throws anywhere between 70 pitches or more, I have to sit him out a minimum of 3 days and most likely four. And so in this scenario, if I have to run out five or six pitchers on day one, let's just say opening day, I throw five or six of my pitchers. Because look, there's no rhyme or reason for your role. I'm just going to, if we're winning, you guys will probably pitch when we're winning because you're my better pitchers. If we're losing, you four or five guys are probably going to pitch the innings 4 through 9 because we're probably losing unless we take the lead at some point. Then my strategy changes back to the guys that are winning. And what I'd run into is I think I'd be okay for about 15 days. And then after about 2 weeks to maybe a maximum of 3 weeks, I'm going to start running into I might be really fatiguing certain guys a whole bunch because I'm using them way too much. In college and high school, it's easy to have this scenario, this theory, because in high school, you're playing 2 games a week. In college, you're playing 4 games a week. If we ever went to a schedule where you played a college schedule, let's just say, but you played it out over a whole season, you would just play Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I can do that. I just can't do it when I'm playing 6 days out of the week and sometimes 7 days out of the week. I'll run into really fatiguing my pitchers and possibly getting them hurt.
Okay, then, Kevin, my suggestion here, new CBA, All right? I'm asking for less games and more pitchers. That's what I'm asking for, more roster spots for pitchers so that I can do this better.
Okay, so you want the owners to be like, we will take less money while also giving out more money.
I'll tell you this. You can spend more money on your hitters and fielders now and not as much on Garrett Coles. Okay. Now you invest all your money in the hitters. You never even have to worry about stopping people from scoring runs because all you're going to do is score runs all day.
This is always a fun conversation, and I brought this up to, I believe, John Daniels last year. Do you guys believe that athletes over the last 50 years, or really the history of athletics, have always become bigger, stronger, and faster?
Yes.
Always,
for the most part.
Yeah, the best have become. Yeah,
right. I mean, if you look at the speed that people are throwing, if you look at the speed that people are running, if you look at the athleticism,
there are far more great athletes than there were back then.
Yet, one of the positions where we've decided that we're actually getting way worse at, that human beings are not developing better, they're actually developing worse, is in pitching. Because we used to have Nolan Ryan, and not just Nolan Ryan, but you can throw out Burt Blyleven, Ferguson Jenkins, Gaylord Perry, whoever. I'm just naming former Rangers right now at this point, and they all entered the Hall of Fame at some point in their career, is they were able to throw every fourth or every fifth day. They were able to throw 7 to 9 innings every time, premium stuff, get you W's, get you tons of strikeouts, and now we've decided that God will never create in the history of mankind God will never create anything close to Nolan Ryan, anywhere close to Burt Blyleven, anything close to Gaylord Perry, anything close to Ferguson Jenkins. I can keep going down the list, and I'm just naming the Rangers that came here for small spurts of their career in the 70s and then in the 90s for Nolan Ryan. Is we've decided, no, the human body cannot handle 7 to 9 innings every fourth to fifth day, rack up 250 to 350 innings, and have a long career. Now, humans were able to do it in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and early 90s. And then it started changing a little bit in the early 90s where we stopped pushing as much. And now we've gotten to the point where we say, go out there and throw 100 pitches as hard as you can for 5 innings. And that is awesome. And that's all we're going to ask you to do, because the human body cannot do more than that. Yet we saw the human body do more than that a long time ago.
Because we changed our mind.
Right. In basketball, we see guys. I know there's load management.
There's too much money invested. There's more money invested in the players and possibility of injury because we're getting bigger, stronger, faster.
That is.
Tommy John surgery is going to take that pitcher that I just paid millions of dollars out.
That is
it's
true.
It's going to take about for 2 years now.
That's true to a point. Now, let me ask you, and I know that there wasn't Tommy John surgery until actual Tommy John got the surgery, is why do we have so many more people being hurt, though? If that it's better for load management to a pitcher's arm and that we throw them less, why do we have more guys getting hurt? How did Brock Burke get hurt throwing so much less than people threw in the 60s, 70s, and 80s? Why are we having so many more injuries to pitchers now than we did when guys were throwing 200 to 350 innings? Now 150 innings is considered a pretty good season for innings pitched. Like, hey, you racked up 150 innings. That's a pretty good year for innings pitched. And it used to be a pretty good year for racking up innings was close to 300.
You think there's a possibility that because there's so much more, life is more automated than it was back in the day? I mean, just even driving your car back in the 70s was different than it is now because you didn't have power steering in certain cars. And now you actually, like, to turn your car, you don't have to do anything almost. Things are more automated now, more automatic, and you can get things at your convenience rather than having to get out of your house and go walk to a store to go get something. You can just have it delivered. I wonder if just the everyday approach to life has anything to do with the lack of strength in certain areas.
Well, I think that we are. I'm not looking at Autoflex leasing Fantix. There could
some
be
people are saying that starting pitching too early in life is the problem.
Huh. They could be. They could be. I think here's my theory on all this, because I have theories on all of this, and whether they're right or wrong, they're just theories. I think that guys are lifting way too many weights now and not throwing the baseball enough. I think our problem is we have fall baseball where kids are throwing a baseball from pretty much January through November and taking December off. I don't think we should be doing that to kids. But then we get to a later age in life and then we start backing them off tremendously, but asking them to lift weights like they've never lifted weights. Like, no, and I know that we are getting stronger. The guys are stronger. It's factual. Guys are stronger
than they
were. But just
because their muscles get stronger doesn't mean their ligaments do.
Right, and now we're tearing the ligaments.
And that's usually some of those injuries are a telltale sign of potential steroid abuse.
You got too
right
strong,
there.
Right. Some of it was steroids, but now I'm assuming most of the guys aren't taking steroids.
Sure.
What they're doing is they're lifting so much. I wonder about Joe Palumbo, who put on 20 pounds of good weight. But that good weight is a lot of muscle. Can his ligaments in his elbow, can his rotator cuff in his shoulder handle all the muscle he just put on?
So the next generation of doctors needs to focus on making stronger ligaments. Make them out of like wire or something.
I feel like you're kidding, but isn't that medical evolution? Like, that's the whole reason Tommy John procedure came along, because you saw a problem and you're like, what if we use this as a workaround? I mean, think about the ACLs that we do and everything. You take them out of dead people. And like, who thought originally, you know what we should do? We should take parts of people who aren't here anymore and make them viable again. And that's why we have organ donation, and that's why we do ACL.
At some point, somebody's going to create the invisible bullet, a way to be able to kill somebody across the way without ever actually having to shoot a gun.
What's that last part?
What the hell just happened?
Yeah, what happened?
Are they going to bend bullets like that one Angelina Jolie movie?
And I'll then you're like,
tell you a little more about
no, I don't want to be complicit in any of that. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, perhaps my most anticipated segment of the day, the theory of Giannis being traded to the Warriors and how it would ruin Bassett's life. We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you a sweet deal from DFW Security before Kevin ruins my life next segment. DFW Security has smart cameras, and they make your home or business the smartest of all. We have smart cameras in the Bassett House. We also have the smart cameras at Oak Cliff Pediatrics, my wife's business. And DFW Security's video analytics service powered by Alarm.com is awesome. It uses the artificial intelligence AI to make sense of what your cameras see in real time. It can tell whether an object is a person, animal, or a vehicle. You're going to get alerted when a vehicle stops outside, but not every time one drives past. You're going to get notified if a person enters a secure area after hours or a vehicle leaves your property unexpectedly overnight. You can set your lights to turn on when a person enters your backyard, but not when it's an animal. It's that simple with DFW Security's smart camera special powered by Alarm.com. Here's what you're going to get, and this is pretty much what we have at our house, and we love it. It's a great price. We used to be with a three-letter company that charged a lot more, and we got a lot less. You're going to get a smart hub with security. You're going to get four smart cameras with the doorbell camera, with video analytics for less than $2 a day. Call right now at 888-507-2344. Mention my name, Mike, and you are going to get free professional installation and free equipment. All you pay is the first month of service to get started. That number again, 888-507-2344. Plus, if you call here in the month of February, I know we're getting really close to the end of February. If you call and say, Mike Bassick sent me here, you get 2 months free. 888-507-2344, or you can go to dfwsecurity.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.